This is North Shore Today. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. In today's program, we're going to hear from Gloucester City Councilor Greg Virga, who's running for mayor in the city of Gloucester.
I am having fun. It's certainly not without its stressful moments, but I'm looking forward to eventually seeing my wife again.
We'll also check in with Drew Russo, who is the director of the Lynn Museum, and their special event coming up a week from tomorrow.
It's actually our History in Hops event, the sixth year that we're doing it. And it's another collaboration of the Museum Lynn Arts merger.
Greg Virga, Drew Russo, all today on North Shore Today. And again, with Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. And Rick, it's a Thursday, and the Patriots are opening up tonight at Gillette Stadium against Pittsburgh. And we got a cloudy start to the day, but this is what it's all about. Everyone's back to school, and the Patriots are back in action.
Yeah, and a little change in the weather due, too. So I guess change of seasons to look forward to. And I don't want anybody to tell me what the score is. We're going to my daughter's Meet the Teacher night tonight. I'm going to record the game. And so I don't want to find out what the score is. I don't want to know anything about it until we get home and then rewind it. Should be a lot of fun. Should be good. And then tomorrow, of course, opening day for high school football with our two games on MSO News Sports and one on Saturday. So should be a fun weekend.
All right. Check the schedule, and we'll have a football preview show up probably no later than Friday morning. A couple of notes from local news in the Daily Item today. They're reporting that the Saugus School Superintendent is leaving his position in probably about a month or so to take a new position as the director of the Central Massachusetts Special Education Collaborative, which is located in Worcester. And Rick, you have one other school note as well from, is it Rockport?
Yeah, a name that's familiar to sports fans on the North Shore, Todd Simmendinger, who was, I believe, the Gloucester girls basketball coach back in the, I think it was the late 90s. Todd Simmendinger is the new principal up in Rockport Elementary School. He's the new principal there, got some new things he wants to bring into the system, and all excited about being back on the job, and a little bit older looking, of course. We all a little bit older from the 90s, but we wish Todd Simmendinger good luck up in Rockport as a new elementary school principal.
Well, you know, one of my claims to fame, Rick, and we've talked about this in the past, was that many years ago, we think it was in the early 80s, Bob Feller, the legendary Cleveland pitcher, came to Fraser Field in Lynn for a promotion for during the Lynn Sailors when they were playing in Lynn, the minor league baseball team. And there I was at Drew Russo's office at the Lynn Museum, and he had a photograph, a group photograph of all the kind of media members, different ones that hit against Bob Feller that day. And Bob Keeney from the Lynn Sunday Post had gave me a picture years ago. But Drew had another picture, kind of a group photo, which I had not seen. And in that photo is a very young Bill Newell. So now I'm in a museum, Rick. And it's just a photocopy on his desk. And also there's a picture of Bob Lobel was there, and John Dennis was there, and Rich Fahey, who used to write for the Item and still very, very much alive and doing very well down on the South Shore. So, you know, there were a lot of people in that photograph, which goes back 30 years or more, that we couldn't identify. So.
Well, you know, you bring back some memories. You used to rub shoulders with all the big media guys, as I recall. And you know what's funny, Bill? I've been telling quite a few people this summer about your experience with Bob Feller. And as I recall, you say you hit off Bob Feller. Is that totally accurate?
Yeah, no. We all got a chance to take a few swings against him. So, I have that photo. We'll have to put that up someday.
Now, excellent.
Yeah, I have to dig that one out of the archives. And I have Bob Keeney to thank for that. You know, he saved that and had sent it to me and stuff, but it was in the Lynn Sunday Post. So, yeah, I got a fly ball out to the warning track. I think that was the best anyone did against him. We're trying to figure out about how old he was, too. This is not the hardest thing in the world to do, but I'm guessing that at the time he was in his 60s when he came.
And yeah. They say, you know, his fastball was among the fastest ever, obviously before radar guns, but he could bring it. And I can't even lift up my shoulder in my 60s, so quite an athlete.
Exactly. And the other thing, too, is people say, well, what, how was he? And I say, well, he was really just kind of letting us hit. But, you know, so it wasn't like he was trying to strike us out. He was being a good guy. All right. So just ahead here on the program, Drew Russo from the Lynn Museum and also Greg Virga, Lynn City Councilor, who's running for mayor. So hang in there with us here on North Shore Today. Drew Russo is joining us from the Lynn Museum. And Drew, you have a
major event coming up at the museum in Lynn on the 18th of September, on Friday. Tell us about that.
Sir, thanks, Bill. Thanks for coming down. It's actually our History in Hops events, the sixth year that we're doing it, and it's another collaboration of the Museum-Lynn Arts merger. It's a lot of fun. You come, you learn about local craft beers paired with small bites, raffles, games. You get to enjoy our current exhibit, including the baseball exhibit and Focus Flash, which is a new photography exhibit that we have downstairs, which is a lot of fun. We've got some great local breweries from Samuel Adams to Smutty Nose that are coming in to help us out with History and Hops this year, the Newburyport Brewing Company. So it's a great evening, and it's a fun, affordable night, $15 for members, $20 for non-members, and it's going to be a fun evening in downtown Lynn.
All right, and that will be right at the museum, correct?
That is correct. We're going to use the museum. We're going to use our courtyard and our park, which just recently reopened. Strung Out Playboys, which is Tony Gallo's band, is going to play outside from 9 to 10. So we're going to use the full campus here and have a great night.
And share with us one. Let me ask you one other comment about bringing the Lynn Arts community together with the Lynn Museum. Tell us about that kind of merger.
So it's we decided to come together in the fall of 2014, and I was brought in as the first executive director of the combined entity. And we really want to create one campus, one arts and cultural hub here in downtown Lynn. And, you know, we've been having a great time doing it with great partners like Downtown Lynn Cultural District, Cultural Latina Dance Academy, School of Rock and Arts After Hours, all entities that share space with us in the Lynn Arts Building, really to fuse the great history that we have in Lynn and the great work that's been done to conserve that here at the museum, but also with a lot of the vibrant visual and performing art that's being created downtown on a daily and weekly basis.
All right, Drew, great. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Thank you, Bill.
Drew Russo, Executive Director of Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts.
At MSONewsSports.com, took me a minute to remember that after years of the other one. I'm Rick Moore, along with Greg Verga, who's Gloucester City Council, Gloucester City Councilor at Large, and candidate for mayor in the city of Gloucester. And Greg, big doings going on with the City Council. Again, the controversy of the Fuller School project, a big parcel of land up at Blackburn Circle, and you had a city council meeting on Tuesday with the public invited. What happened?
Well, to cut right to the chase, we had to take two votes. One was to dispose of the property, which means say it's okay to sell, and then the second thing the council had to do was set the minimum bid price in the RFP. So I'll take them one by one. The first vote was a it was a 6-2 vote in favor of disposing of the property. Bob Wynot voted no, and I voted no. The reason I voted no is I tried to offer some amendments to the RFP. In particular, I wanted to prohibit residential as for any bidder, because everybody's saying the reason we need to sell Fuller is to generate jobs and tax revenue, and residential units do not provide that. Residential units drain more on the system than they give us in tax revenue. So I was a bit shocked, to say the least, that it was voted down by the council. And some of the councilors said they weren't going to vote for any amendments, to which I responded, that's the way to be open-minded. You're voting no before I even said what the amendments were. Mm-hmm. So that was the 6-2 vote. The second vote I did support, which was to do the $1 minimum bid. Why not voted no? The reason I supported it was, even though I had issues with the whole thing going out, I said that one sentence in the RFP that we had control over, I agreed with. I think it's a pretty good strategy to set a minimum bid at $1, because if we set a real price, we're not going to get it. So we might as well start at $1 and see what the offer is, because we're not stuck taking a $2 bid.
All right.
So next steps, the RFP, I don't know when it physically gets released, but I would suspect that at least one local nonprofit with an acronym that starts with Y will be submitting a bid. But it's open for 60 days, mm-hmm. and then we will review. The mayor will review, but she did say she will go in an executive session, sit down with the council and talk about the bids.
Okay, well, stay tuned. I-4C2, whatever it's called. How many years has that been going on now?
Actually, I was just doing some research on that. It was about May of 2009 we mm-hmm. purchased that, and I found a quote on a message board by another local blogger at the time, saying, I predict it's going to become a parking lot. Anybody else want to anybody else want to predict what it'll be in 3 years? Uh-huh. And now 6 years later,
it's a parking lot.
So okay. It's long overdue that we do something. We have to get that out to bid and try to generate again jobs and tax revenue. But the DPA designated port area, state designation, and the local marine industrial zoning really limit what can be done there.
Our pregame talk, you mentioned something called the Maplewood School?
The Maplewood School, a little historical perspective. My first term on the school committee, we declared the building surplus. It was used by Pathways for Children. I don't know if that's their current or the former name. But anyway, they were the last tenants. They moved out around that time. And we decided on the school committee, you know, we weren't going to use it. We had talked about maybe using it as a special ed specific, you know, for early reading intervention, but it didn't happen. So we, at the urging of the mayor, Mayor Bellentine, we declared it surplus. The real estate market was through the roof. We thought we were going to get about $700,000. We actually got an offer for $700,000. Neighbors fought it. It fell through. And now, so that was 2003, I think. Fast forward to 2015. We're finally looking at plans. Someone's got an offer in place, and I don't think they haven't closed on it yet, but Kirk Noyes, who did Central Grammar Apartments, is looking to make it into eight condo units, one-bedroom condo units.
Okay. Okay. What's the prevailing thought, if there is one, regarding the new affordable housing project that is projected for Cameron's on Main Street?
Yeah, that's a tough one because, first of all, the developer, are throwing down the 40B card, which is 40B, for those who aren't aware of it, is the state statute relating to, I guess, the anti-zoning, anti-snob zoning was what this resulted in to become. And towns would just sort of put undue restrictions on developers to keep out certain types of developments. And so the state put this in place, which says if it's for affordable housing, you, town, city, have no say over it. And the only way you can get out of that is if you have 10% of your housing stock has a deed restriction of affordable housing. Right now we're at 7.5%. So where we are today is they bought the property for $900,000-something. They want to put in 30 one, two, and three-bedroom units. I think it's 10 ones, and I forget the breakdown of the two and three. One parking each, but we have no oversight or say on the matter. I can say that they, the developer, which is a partnership between Action and I believe it was North Shore CDC out of Salem. Excuse me. They had three public meetings, and they took the input from people and really changed the design based on the input they got. Bottom line is it's going to happen. The best we can get out of it is working with them to, you know, have some tweaks. The concerns people have, and I'm not saying whether or not I agree with these things, but this is what people are concerned about. There'll be a lot of kids added to the school system. Where are the kids going to play? They're going to be playing in the street down there. One of the concerns I heard from one of the neighboring businesses was how is the construction going to impact her business? She's literally right next door because it's not going to be quick. You're going to have a lot of contractors taking up space. So that's one of the things that I've asked be included in the next conversation. Mm-hmm. So in the end, we're always going to be chasing that 10% affordable housing number because for each market value house that's built, that's just creating a bigger gap.
So. Okay. All right. Well, the good news from my perspective would be adding kids to the school system because the cuts that have gone on this year in particular in Gloucester High School, now one of the smallest schools in the Northeastern Conference. There's only three schools that are smaller than Gloucester High School. That's amazing to me. And the teaching staff, anyway, that's a story for another day. Did you want to comment on that?
No, you're right, because the numbers are way down over the last, since my first day on the school committee to now being on the city council. And a lot of it's through demographics, just because, you know, smaller families, less people in town with kids. But we also have to change the out to in terms of school choice. You know,
that'd be nice.
We have about $1 million bucks a year going out to choice, and I think maybe 200, 300,000 coming in. We have a lot to offer, as you know. It's just a matter of letting the world know about it.
I think we should talk about the Essex, the new Essex Aggie, or whatever it's called. I know we're pressed for time here, Greg, but one more thing I want to talk to you about is, you know, you've talked about you have a passion for the city. Your dad was in service to the city for many, many years, and this is kind of an interesting and dare I say it, fun mayoral race. We're used to seeing nothing happening in Gloucester mayoral races over the last decade or so. So. How's this working for you? What's your feelings about this whole thing, and how are you experiencing it?
Oh, the experience is very positive. You know, we're feeling good about it. We're getting a lot of good feedback out there from the door knocking and the phone calling. And I'm having, I am having fun. It's certainly not without its stressful moments, but I'm looking forward to eventually seeing my wife again. And but you know, I'm learning a lot from what people are saying, what their concerns are, and you know, it shouldn't be taken lightly. It's our choice who the next mayor is, and people should look at all the candidates, all five of us, and you know, question them, call them up, say, and make an informed decision.
All right, and contact information?
Contact info, you can call me at my home office, 978-325-3523, or you can go to Greg at gregberger.com and send me an email.
And what about your mayoral?
Oh, mayoral, okay, well, that's a whole different story. That's good. Just voteverger.com is the easiest way to get in touch.
All right, thanks, Greg.
That is Gloucester City Councilor Greg Verga with MSONewsSports.com. I'm Rick Moore.
And to wrap up today's program, let's just finally, Rick, recap what we've got coming up for high school football. Beginning Friday night, we have two games, live video game, Lynn Classical at Gloucester, 7 o'clock. And then Wakefield will play host to Beverly, radio game here on MSONewsSports.com. And on Saturday, a noon kickoff, we have Swampscott playing host to Lynn English. And all new coaches. And on our website, of course, we have the new post from Beverly Football as Tim Kearns talked with Beverly football coach Dan Bauer Wednesday evening, and that's right up on the website. So we got a lot of high school football previews. The Salem News had their football preview section Wednesday, Rick, and the Daily Item has theirs out on Thursday with all the previews on the North Shore high school teams.
Yeah, always fun, and catch up on the latest, catch up on family members and friends and sons and daughters of friends that you know, and well, not daughters so much, although there are one or two females playing football in the area, playing interscholastic football. But absolutely, this is very exciting. And I did get to meet Manchester Essex football coach Jeff Hutton. His interview is up on the website as well. Longtime assistant over in Beverly. He's so ready to go and enthusiastic. Manchester plays on Saturday morning, and they said, I guess he told Coach Bauer, leave some of that good luck charm in Wakefield because they're playing on the same field. So Manchester Essex opening up a way for Jeff Hutton. And I also talked with Coach Tony Verga of Gloucester. Will have Fisherman Forecast on a pregame show tomorrow night just before the Classical at Gloucester game.
Tony Zarilli, yep. All right, there he is, Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell. This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com.